If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
In the light of the most radiant one, from the golden heart of the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena. You're listening to the voice of the Astar Command. Greetings in the light of the most radiant one. You're listening to the voice of the Astar Command, and I'm Commander Lady Athena. Greetings from the golden heart of that one divine love that fuels and fires our purpose in this time and space. Tonight our topic is living on purpose and the choices that can only be made at the physical and human level. So what does it mean to live on purpose? And what is your purpose in life? What do you want to achieve in this lifetime? Is this your life in alignment with your purpose, with your goal, and with your objective? I'd like to begin this evening with a brief reading from the wonderful book, Spiritual Warrior, The Art of Spiritual Living, by my spiritual teacher, John Roger. And he has this to say about our purpose. You come into this world attempting to fulfill certain qualities within yourself, and you go about it in many ways. But everyone has a prime directive. You are here to find out who you are, to find out where your home is, in spirit, and to go there in consciousness, to have a co-creative consciousness with God. So this is our whole direction and purpose on this planet. It is where your satisfaction and your fulfillment lie. You know, it's interesting, spirit only has an operative directly into our life when we have an intention towards it. In fact, you could say another word for God would be the overall intent of the heart. That is the divine presence within us. So it looks to us as we look to it, to continue with the spiritual warrior. When we were born in this world, we sacrificed the spiritual world. When we were born here, we entered into a condition called sacrifice. In the spiritual world where we existed as spirit, as pure love, we looked down into this material world, and from that high plane of love, we saw where we could do everything perfectly. But in the place we were looking from, everything looked perfect. So then we decided to go into this place called Earth, and we all know what happens when you get here. It does not go the way you want it to. So therefore, we say it is not perfect. But as a matter of scientific truth, everything here is perfect. We just don't like the way it is. So the problem is not what is here. The problem is in our attitude towards it. We don't belong here spiritually. We are engrafted into the body. And that is why we have such a hard time making ourselves do what we want to do, according to our intention, because our intention only functions in the spirit. So, based on intention, we are living our life. And I think this 888 was an enormous wake-up call for all of us. We're still reeling, we're still integrating, we're still processing the tremendous infusion of energy. We can only look at CNN and the newspaper to see the impact that it had on the global condition, because even as 888 represents the Christ gematria or the Christ encodement of higher consciousness in union with the higher Great Central Sun programs, on a lower level, the ego, its domination, control, warfare, money, power, and the advancing of ego-centric agenda, i.e., usually producing conflict. So it's the negative energy of the Martian frequency, because 8 is also the number of the 8th house, and that's the lower ruler of Scorpio, Pluto being the esoteric ruler.
They don't want to, but
well, you still have fans
but both
here,
have
know?
Dark aspects
fans
and deep occultish aspects in the sense of being deeply hidden in the mysteries of transformation. And so you react to the energy depending on where you're primarily focused, in the ego or in the higher levels of consciousness. Many, many people reported dizziness, feeling like they were walking sideways off kilter, very, very fatigued. Many reported sleeping a lot. I was one of them. many were unfocused mentally. Some experienced nausea and physical symptoms of clearing. Some were even anxious to the point of being suicidal. Some experienced panic attacks in extreme cases. And overall, many, many felt various forms of stress impacting them in one of their bodies, whether it was physical, emotional, mental, or etheric. I experienced it etherically as a tremendous weight that felt like it was pushing me down. Somebody wrote that they felt like they were under sand. And, yeah, that's a good way to describe it. I would add wet sand. Heavy wet sand, which had a feeling like you're just being pressed down with this heavy, heavy weight. And that weight was the downloading of very high energies and the attempt of those energies to find a place to harmonize and resonate with the highest rate of electronic spin that we had in our subtle bodies. Now, I have a considerably high electronic spin in my body's light. And I could hardly move some days. I was down more than I was up. So I can imagine what many of the light workers out there who don't do this work 24/7 like I do must have been experiencing. But in a sense, it was really good for us because it was like a temperature check to really show where we had our work laid out for us, where we needed to increase our strength, increase our awareness, increase our ability to remain centered and to process very, very high frequencies of energy. So I think it's interesting, too, that if we study the lifestyle of any person on the planet throughout history or present that has accomplished or is accomplishing anything noteworthy, and you examine their lifestyle from day to day, you will see that they are exercising lives of great discernment and selectivity in what they choose to do or not do. You especially see that the case in, for example, we're celebrating the 2008 Olympics in Beijing. And the athletes and how they have to live their lives, the impeccability and the prioritization that they have to put to excellence and physical preparedness, to exercise the skill to the uttermost, requires that they just opt to not do a lot of things that most of us just take for granted. And that's true with any person who wants to achieve a specific goal. You have to see if your lifestyle and your day-to-day choices that you choose to exercise are in alignment with where you want to go and what you want to accomplish. This impacts everything from what you eat to what you think to who you choose to keep company with to the way you want to spend at 24/7. We all have 24 hours every day. We all have 7 days of the week. We all have 365 days to the year. How are you investing the coinage of your life? We have a brief life here. It's amazing how quickly it goes by. If you're an athlete, you have a performing life of maybe, what, 10 years, maybe 15? I spent 12 of my years in a cycle as a circus performer, a professional dancer, a singer, dancer, actress, and then it was finished, done. So then what? So many people that are in those professions where everything is put into their physical body, then when suddenly they can't operate in that realm anymore and they haven't made any other investiture in their life, they're just left with an empty sack. I think this is why so many people in the glamour professions end up going into addictive patterns. Because focusing your entire life on your beauty or your physique or your skill physically is just not big enough to occupy the divine being that we are. There's more to life than the body. And bear in mind that everything we do in the physical body, if it hasn't been imbued with that divine life that we are as a divine being, which would be exemplified as selfless pure love, that goes into the earth along with our physical shell. Same thing with the emotional body. It amounts to zero unless we've been in the flow of higher consciousness and operating in divine love. Same thing with the intellectual. Each level and each subtle body connected to that level only retains the residual that resonates in the highest divine quality of energy and expression. The Course of Miracles says that we take with us into eternity only the loving we have given and shared and the loving we have received. Love is the coinage of the higher realms. It is the definitive factor of whether a life has been lived on divine purpose, on highest purpose, or not. And so, those of us listening to shows like this presumably have as our overriding purpose the attaining of Christ consciousness, or the ascension, as many phrase it. So how are we living? Are we living in a way that consistently begins to model that anointed state that we call the Christ consciousness? Christ, again, is the word that means the anointed one. The anointing comes when you're in alignment with your divine function. Your divine function is to be the light of the world and to be that which expresses God's formless love in time and space. That is Christ consciousness, when you just simply are the light and love of Source 24/7. That means that you don't have days when you park that somewhere else and manifest your ego. You don't give wiggle room to the ego. You monitor those levels that are not in goal fitness. They're not goal fitting if they're not matching that excellence to which we've been called. And think of this. The human race is 18.5 million years old. We're ancient, ancient souls on this planet. Don't you think after all those lifetimes, all those cycles and all that mystic school training, we can embody Christ consciousness now? We wouldn't be called to move into it if it wasn't attainable. And yet there's a price to be paid. The price is that you prioritize your life and your lifestyle to fit in with that objective, which would be the highest and the most excellent that we can possibly attain in everything that we set our hearts to do. Now, we are celebrating the 2008 Olympics, and I was very impressed by how the Chinese people stated quite definitely that they would do anything that it would take to host these Olympics and to prepare themselves to receive the world, which in their case meant the adjustment of many lifestyle, normal things that they do in that part of the world, that would be kind of socially inappropriate in terms of hosting a globe. So, for example, they had classes in social etiquette so that they would enhance their global image. I suppose in their country they spit, you know, on the street. Many Asian countries they do. They don't think anything about it. So all of a sudden they had to monitor that behavior because, it, you know, to the West it's not exactly an acceptable behavior. So there were signs all over that said no spitting. And so on. All of these little slight cultural differences that they have. For example, in China it's considered very rude if you don't eat your food with a lot of noise. There's to be the smacking of the lips and belching loudly, as it's the same thing in India. And you really make a big deal out of enjoying your food and doing it very noisily. Of course, in the, most of the Western world, that's considered very rude. So there's these slight cultural differences that China really was aware of and began to adjust its behavior in alignment with its purpose. Now, the Chinese and the Oriental race as a whole were originally from Mars. And therefore, if you want to understand the Oriental mindset, or understand the Martian mindset, you need to study the Oriental race. It is called a perfected root race. In other words, it's the fourth root race just before the current one that we're in, which is the fifth root race. And they are perfected in that. The discipline and the industriousness of the Chinese people is legendary. You know, everything that they've done in terms of the precision and the beauty and the impeccable approach that they have put to their presentations, oh, they're just absolutely take your breath away. And the Chinese race is very, very excellent in that precision and that impeccability of physically bringing themselves into whatever level of sacrifice is necessary and whatever discipline is necessary to exercise that particular excellence that they call themselves forward to. I know in the circus world, where I used to move about as a youngster, the Chinese were always the very best acrobats. You know, certain groups of people were best in their field, and the Chinese always excelled in anything that had to do with the acrobatic arts. So your lifestyle is molded very much by your purpose. You only have to look at a person, follow them around in an average day, listen to their everyday conversation to pretty much know where they're headed in their life. That's why our lives really need to be different and conspicuously different if we're called to manifest the Christ consciousness. Is our life Christ-like? That's the bottom line. Do you really know what that is? Have you really committed to it? Have you prioritized that? And don't get hung up in the word. Is your life an example of a person who is set apart to be used as a vehicle for the Supreme Spirit to operate through? When people look at you, do they remember your loving? Is that what impresses them the most about you? Ah, that love, that tenderness, that kindness, that gentle spirit. That is the Christ within you. That is the Anointed One. That is what we need to get out of the closet and into the world, and into your home, and into your marriage, and into your child rearing, and into your job place, and into wherever you go. That. So your life purpose will govern your choices. Certain life purposes and certain lifestyle choices are totally incompatible and therefore become no longer an option. There's a time when you say to yourself, I end cycle on this behavior. It is no longer an option. That's very, very important, because once you set that edict down, it's no longer an option, then all levels of your being have to come into alignment with that if that was said from your true intent of spirit. This includes your body elemental, your physical elemental, which basically has the prime directive from spirit to keep you breathing, keep your heart beating, and keep you alive, to protect you and keep you physical in survival. That part is the part that gives us the most difficulty when energies come in that it's not used to hosting. And because your body elemental has to host the energies of your spirit, it needs to really get clear directions from you as a conscious self as to what's going on. These people who reported to me panic attacks and feeling really quite hopeless and depressed and frightened and threatened and stressed. This was not them speaking as a spirit. This was their physical body elemental reacting to something it could not understand and had no clear directive of how to process. It's not designed to govern your life. It is an elemental Davic form that is evolving by supporting your physical process in any given life. You get your basic self out of a pool of basic selves. You get your high self out of a collective of high selves. Neither of these levels are who you are, but they are co-workers in the overall agenda and process that you've set in motion for any given lifetime. So the basic self is never, at most, any older than about a five-year-old child, and they act like a five-year-old child. They get petulant. They close off their energy. They get frightened. They get rebellious. And unfortunately, the high self is the one that gives you the energy for your mission, and it doesn't come to you physically on the conscious level. It comes into your physical elemental first. So if you have blocks in that inner child, that little basic self elemental, then guess who's not able to source that higher energy? Guess who's having a real problem with tummy aches and cleansing and reactive patternings and all sorts of stuff and blocks. So how do you work with your basic self? Well, number one, your basic self listens to every word that comes out of your mouth. You are Almighty God to your basic self. Therefore, it listens to your words, and it takes every word as the gospel truth. So if you say things that are critical about yourself or judgmental, it hears that, and it develops lack of self-confidence or shyness or the inability to really hold high energy. When you pray, and you pray out loud, and you say affirmations out loud, it listens to you, and it develops that childlike faith that you often see in a 5 or 6 year old child. So counsel your basic self, your inner child, by speaking positive words in cycle on anything that is critical of yourself or another. If you want to move into these higher levels, this is a prerequisite. Watch your mouth. Watch your thoughts. Because somebody is always watching and always listening and taking notes. When you say you're going to do something, that basic self will hold on to that forever and absolutely drain your energy with incompletions if you don't communicate clearly that you are no longer going to do whatever it was you said you were going to do. So don't make New Year's resolutions. Don't make vows. Don't promise you're going to do stuff. Just be present here and now, and always leave yourself some option to exit that arena so you don't fence yourself in. We all know the statement, never say never. That's really important because I felt personally everything I've ever said I'd never do, I've done. And I think that's pretty true of all of us. So the basic self doesn't forget. And you have to communicate if you are not going to fulfill something you said you're going to do, because it really is committed to fulfilling your wishes. In that movie, The Secret, when the universe says, master, your wish is my command, that genie is actually more of a model for your inner child, your basic self, because that's the way it looks towards you. Your wish is its command, but only in the very basic survival levels, eating, sleeping, mating, defending and protecting. It's like a little animal. It's only concerned with the physical comfort and survival, period. It has no higher purpose whatsoever. And when you die, you don't have that basic anymore. It goes off into the repository of basics to go and support some other human being when they incarnate in their life. The basic self is the one that governs the building of your physical body. It's in charge of all the many lesser lives or Vedic lives that go together to build a physical vehicle in the uterus. So these are things that are important to understand about how you're put together to function. Because if you don't understand these things, then you don't know how to cooperate with your process. And we must educate and integrate and be, again, congruent on each level so that we have a thought and a word that match and come into agreement that we can then agree in taking our next step to fulfill. There has to be that congruency between thought, word, and deed. And when people are not aligned and they're messy, they're over here mentally and over there emotionally, and who knows where they are physically, they're just kind of random accidents waiting to happen, you know, that's not a Christ-centered life. That's a life of absolute disorder, and it's going into entropy, not syntrophy. Entropy is the dissolution of form. And likewise, when these energies come in, if your heart chakra isn't open, wow, look out. This is why so many people passed away during the 888. They had heart attacks, they had strokes. I heard that the emergency rooms were absolutely overflowing with accidents and heart attacks and strokes. What causes that? There is no room to receive the energy. The mind is closed. It can't adjust to another picture of reality. It's unwilling to. It's resisting that. The heart is closed. It's unwilling to open, to forgive, to trust, to receive greater life. And so it short circuits. It just simply is not able to move into this higher level of vibration and survive. That's why it's said that many, many people will be leaving their body very quickly now. We are in that home run stretch now where we're literally moving in to the new higher dimensional earth. And that's why now everything has to be laid aside. It's not part of that. If you really want to move into this ascension, this dimensional translocation, now is the time to make that your priority if you haven't already done so. Let me enumerate for you some of the things that we have responsibility for choosing. You know, there's often the question of, well, what's the difference between God's will and my will? Is there a difference? Well, in highest truth, no. God's will is your will brought into perfect alignment with Source. So initially, the transition is that we began to ask for and intend to act into the highest good of all concerned. The highest divine destiny is another way that we can approach that. Ask for your highest divine destiny, whatever is for the highest good to come to pass in your life and in the situations you're involved with. And then there's the permissive will. Some people have said God has a permissive will. He will allow you, as a human ego, to do whatever you have to do until you're tired of doing it. Nobody that's on this path of ascension is going to want God's permissive will. No way. Because that's, you know, basically just allowing your basic self to run your life, and God's okay with that because God is a neutral energy that really, despite what some scriptures say, is totally non-judgmental. Because you are basically, in highest truth, God's incarnation. So God has eternity to bring that lower aspect and all of its components back into unified field. It really doesn't care how long that takes. It can be billions of years for all it cares. So God doesn't have a human personality that sits up there and keeps notes and judges you. And yet, having said that, there is a personal relationship we have with God that comes in through Jesus the Christ and the masters of wisdom and the angels, masters, teachers, mentors, guides, and guardians and spiritual family members and groups that we, every single one of us, are aligned with in spirit. So we have an enormous group of beings that are mentoring us and are our guardians and our cheerleaders and our upline, our spiritual connectors to Source. So the hierarchy, the spiritual energies are always stepped down through myriads and myriads of beings at every level to reach us personally and directly. So yeah, there is a human relationship with a God being, a great spirit that we are linked to in our hearts and minds. And those of us in the Ashtar Command, we come in very strongly linked with the one called Jesus the Christ, or the Most Radiant One, or Sananda Kumara. We are totally sold out to that soul. We're totally his. We're totally his possessions. We're totally his vehicles. And that's what makes us as an extraterrestrial group perhaps different than many of the hundreds and hundreds of ETs out there, is that we come from the throne realms in service through Jesus the Christ. That is our overarch. And we really are about facilitating and administering the divine plan of human spiritual evolvement, unfoldment, ascension, and graduation. We don't really have anything to do with the governments of the world or the financial structures of the world. We don't even care about that. We don't care about appearing in spaceships and enticing you with psychic phenomena, promising you all sorts of advanced technology. That's not our area. Our area is to work with you to become complete replicas of our Most Radiant One, so that that divine component that is within you as a potential can be quickened and activated and encouraged and infused and supported in its spiritual education. That is who we are. That is what we do. That's what we're about. And so when you hear of other alien agendas that call themselves Ashtar Command and they're not doing that, then you have to look again. Is that really the Ashtar Command? There is an imposter Ashtar Command that Tuella wrote about years ago. There were 10 cadets that were in training, according to Tuella, for commandership. And they each and every one of them in some form failed the tests. And so they left in a huff and started their own astral version of the Ashtar Command. And that is the one that often calls itself Ashtar Sharan and gives very negative and punitive and fearful channelings. I read some of that stuff and I think, good heavens, that's not the Ashtar Command. Also, we have absolutely nothing to do with the fallen races, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, or the Amorites, as they're called in the Bible. We're not part of that action. Our action is divine throne realm, the 12th dimension step down, and people like myself operate from the 8th oversoul level, so we're collective. But our whole process is to bring you into Christ consciousness on this planet. That's all of humanity that's willing to be the marked, the called apart ones, the ones that are the cream of the crop. We are here to facilitate that. And those of you that are members of our ground crew, that's your job. You're to be not only fishers of men, but also to teach people how to fish. That's why I never tell you what to do when you try to ask me to tell you what to do or give you advice. I always direct you into yourself, because as long as you're directed by someone outside of yourself, you're not self-realized. You'll always have doubts. And at some point, you'll turn against that person that's giving you all that information, because in truth, they're sabotaging your own divine God-realization. They're sabotaging you and keeping you entrained in their momentums rather than setting you free to discover your own way. So a good teacher will never allow that. My own teacher, John Rogers, so strict. If you ask him anything that has to do with your physical, emotional, sexual, or financial life, he'll say, that's your 10% level. I'm only concerned with the 90%, which is soul transcendence. You handle the 10%. I'll handle the 90%. And a good teacher who can actually do that and actually deliver the goods, which is, again, you've got to really check out your upline. That's where they're concerned. That's where they're focused. They're not going to be giving you politically polarized information. They're not going to be tempting you with money-making schemes. They're not going to be scaring the pants off of you by talking about you're just a few feet from hell and you're ready to fall into the pit. They're not going to exacerbate conflict againstness or intimidation or control or domination in any quarter at any time in even the slightest degree. Why? Because our prime directive is non-interference with free will. And that includes your little basic self. So if that little inner child folds its arms across its chest, as it often does, or hugs its teddy bear in front of its belly or its pillow, and says, no, we have to back off. That means if you complain when we put energy into you and you feel electrical charges or some discomfort in your head or third eye, we have to back off. If you become frightened when we come to you in the dream state, or and you know, you can always test us because we don't engender fear. You know, we come with such love and gentleness that if you are fearful or being in any way coerced or manipulated, that's not us. I don't care what that entity says it is. It's not the Ashtar Command. We come only where the Christ is welcomed and celebrated and openly received. We are instruments of the Holy Spirit, or the whole Spirit. And it is that we work with. We work with you in terms of your consciousness at its highest levels, your soul or your Atma. We work telepathically. We work through very subtle spiritual impression, which allows you to receive it or not. It's your free will choice. So here are some of the areas that only the human being can choose to exercise. And I say the word exercise very specifically here, because these things don't come without your participation. For example, you must choose to forgive. That is an act of willingness and faith. It is given to you to choose, and the Holy Spirit is the one that dissolves that karmic imprint and brings back restoration and reconciliation. But you have to choose to say the words, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive myself. Because every time you judge, you've also placed that same judgment on yourself. So if you want to be free, you have to forgive that other person. That way both of you are forgiven. That's what it means in the Lord's Prayer when Jesus said that we should pray asking God to forgive us our trespasses or our debts as we forgive our trespassers or our debtors. So first we have to exercise forgiveness, and then forgiveness is given to us. Second, we have to choose to have faith. Faith is the evidence of things unseen and the substance of things hoped for. So you're never going to see into faith. Faith is belief in what you can't see, what you can't hear, what you can't know, what's beyond you, what's in the great mystery. It's a God thing. It's, again, an active exercising of one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is faith. And it's given to you to choose consciously to have faith. Someone was emailing me today that was talking about having doubt. And I said, the question is not whether, it's not about trying not to doubt. The question is whether or not you are willing to choose to trust. A choice for trust, a choice for faith is the issue. So many times people exercise their energies in the reverse of what they really want. Well, I'm trying to lose weight. Forget the trying and watch what you put in your mouth right now. Make another choice. Make a better choice. Don't try to do anything. Have faith to know that as you intend fully to come into whatever it is you want to manifest, that the energy of spirit will align with that, and then step forth in faith and in trust. Then, the other thing, we must choose to trust. Trust what? Trust God. Trust your process. Trust the Holy Spirit within you. Trust that inner knower. We always know what's right to do. Don't tell me you don't know what to do, what's right to do. We always know. It's whether or not we want to acknowledge and trust and obey that directive. The other thing is that we must choose to yield. Again, the higher forces of the Ashtar Command and all of the ascended highest Christ forces will never, ever come against your resistance. We will always back off. So you must yield yourself in willingness to receive from us, or we're gone. There are many, many willing vessels right now, and it says in the Bible that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, searching the land for those whose hearts are right towards him. So your heart must be yielded and right towards the Lord. The other thing is reverence and respect. You must choose to have reverence for all life and respect for yourself in all life and reverence for the divine in all life. This cannot be enforced. This is the product of an attuned, rightly aligned, yielded soul. A matured soul has reverence for life, respect for life, which is represented in how you move about and take care of your environment and take care of the way that you impact the world with your presence. The other thing that you must accept of your own free will is to ask Christ to be the center of your life, to ask the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, to come, dwell in your heart, and to surrender your life totally to that higher purpose, that higher God, divine source. Only you can do that. That will never, never, never be forced on you. It's a free choice. And again, it has nothing to do with accepting a religion or anything of that nature. It has to do with opening your heart to that divine component that would completely source through you, given permission to do so. So, the other thing is to choose to let go and let God. I often say we need to learn how to rest in space, like a planet. Think of the trust of a planet. What is it resting in? The invisible hand of God. It's sustained and upheld only by the divine love of the all that is. So to let go and to let God, to trust, to have faith, is a choice that only we can make. Our choice is also to be responsible. For what? For recognizing our divinity and our divine authority. So many people want to push the buck. They want to point the finger. They don't want the responsibility of saying, I am an embodiment of the divine, and I do act through the authority vested in me by the Lord himself. And when you can stand and operate and live in that with very clear intention, where everything in your body is resonating that as truth, then we see an ascended master walking on the earth. And that's what we're made for. That's what we're created to be. And this is our time to manifest that. So we also need to be owning our field of conscious awareness and light integration. Owning it means you don't wimp out and say, oh, well, you know, to err is human. I'm just human. I'm only human. I'm a sinner. I'm whatever. That is, you know, shooting yourself in the foot. How are you going to walk out the Christ life if you're shooting yourself in the foot all the time? So end cycle on that kind of thinking and talking. So the again, what we put in our mouth and in our mind is what comes out of our heart and out of our mind. Jesus said it's not what we put in our mouth that defiles us, but what we deposit in our heart. So, but also having said that, your food generally matches the quality that you're living out of, be it slothfulness and ego, darkness, or the passionate mode, or the balanced mode of goodness, or tamoguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna in Sanskrit. Food matches those different levels, and according to the level of consciousness will be the tendency to prefer foods of that nature. So again, clean, fresh, wholesome, as close to nature as possible, is the food of higher consciousness. Being careful what you put in your mouth. Being careful what you put in your mind. So the quality goes in and quality goes out. And that is very important also. Again, only we can choose where we go and what we choose to do when we get there and with whom we choose to do it or not. Only we can choose what to believe, what reality matrix we would have be real for us. Only we can make that choice. Don't blame it on anybody else. If you're listening to somebody else make your decisions for you and tell you what's real, shame on you. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anybody. Just take in the information and process it. Does it resonate as truth? Does it work for you? If it does, then who cares if it was brayed by an ass? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what voice speaks it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And it doesn't matter whose holy writ has written it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So work what you got and validate it by the fruit of your own life. Sai Baba said that one way to tell a genuine spiritual person is by their peace and their joy. So when you have peace, no matter what's going on in the outer world, and you have that quiet inner joy that's underneath everything that's going on, you know you are on the right spiritual path. And whatever you're doing, it's working for you. So keep working it. So again, only we can choose what thoughts we choose to pay attention to. Thoughts are a stream. Emotions are a stream. We're sensitive. We're empaths. We can receive all different thought and emotional, energies. We move in a sea of thoughts and emotional patternings with all the people around us. So what we choose to allow to keep company in our minds and in our emotional body is a choice that we consciously make. Don't poke your nose in other people's business. I'm going to read from, again, John Roger. This is a good one for me, too. Life has this message for all who in their self-importance want to help others. Don't get involved in things that are not your immediate level of concern. Don't take on someone else's concerns. If you take on someone's karma and you start to carry it, guess what that person who originally had the karma has to do? They still have to carry it. So now there's two of you. And what if their burden is to carry a big backpack full of rocks up and down a hill? That is what you start to do. And if you wonder why you have backaches and headaches and leg aches, it's because you're in something that is not yours. Get out of it. You may say, I can't let go. This is a friend. No, this is not a friend. This is a karmic burden that is theirs. You delay them by your supposed idea of friendship. There is a form of ruthlessness that must come into friendship, where you draw some boundary lines with each other, and you make sure that these lines are not crossed. This is really caring in the greatest way, because if you take karma away from someone, and you take it away too soon, you may be damning them to suffer all over again through the same pattern. And this is true of spiritual teachers and parents. After your children reach the age of accountability, which is 18 to 21, they have their own life. Let them live it. Let them make the mistakes they need to make, that they choose to make, because they will, regardless of what you say, and let them work through their own pre-chosen karmic path. Back to John Roger. A great deal of the stress that people suffer is a result of not living right now, of being totally occupied with the past or the future, This is the cause of so many troubles. When you cut out your concern for the future and your remembrance of the past, you are right here and right now. Many people try to remember to be here and now. However, when they try to remember, the very act of remembering throws them out of the now. So if you stop remembering, or you forget to remember, and just be here now, you are in good territory. So hold yourself present in the now. So, we had a crop circle on 888, which hopefully you've all had a chance to see. If not, go to Crop Connector and Google it and see it. It is exactly what I spoke about in our last show of the overlapping of the two circles forming the eight and the Vesica Pisces, or that dimensional portal directly in the center. It shows our solar system directly in line with Great Central Sun Core, and it is proof that what we are going through is indeed the portal into the Christ consciousness dimension, or the fifth dimensional world of living love. So that's where we are. That's what we're doing. And wow, it's huge. It's bigger than we could ever imagine. And if we're having a little bit of a challenge in integrating this energy, it's not surprising. Just watch to see where you went out of balance or where you were weak, and begin to do the spiritual practices that will fortify you. Only spiritual practices fortify you spiritually. Not the material, not the emotional, not the mental. Spiritual, and that's spending time with the Spirit, with God. Sitting down, being in the silence, listening, chanting, listening and chanting, alternating. Spending time where you say, okay, God, this is your time. And just be there. Whether or not you have any experiences, whether or not anything happens, don't worry about that. Keep focused on giving God time. Only God. And only time for that purpose. And don't be greedy for fruit. Just let God do whatever God wants to do or not. You may not register anything, but you will never be giving anything in vain. It will always be part of that process of your time and your strengthening in your spirit. So keep your lives focused on purpose. Be proactive in applying the disciplines necessary to bring yourself into the level that you have made a commitment to achieve in this lifetime. And let's see, we'll go out chanting Jesu Christu. Jesu Christu. Deep breath. Jesu Christu, 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 Jesu Christu. Adonai, beloveds, God willing, I'll be speaking to you next week. Be blessed.